Jesus. Jesus. When Jesus went into the town he grew up in, the scriptures tell us he could not do many miracles because people said, isn't this just Joseph's son, the carpenter? Where does he get this wisdom from? Because they were looking on the outside. They did not have heaven's perspective. And if we have heaven's perspective, we receive from heaven. If we have an earthly perspective, we can only have what the earth can give us. The world loves the earthly perspective. But God is calling us to a greater, greater insight. The Lord says, come up here. There are things I want to show you. Stop fighting with your fists. Stop struggling on the earth. And come and see that it's an aerial war. The victory is already won. Start living in the victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe if you have a need, either a physical, emotional, financial, right now, just stand before the Lord. Stand before him and ask him tonight to give you his perspective on your situation. Say, Lord, let me see as you see. I don't want to bump along the ground in the way I've been seeing things. It just didn't work. I want to look from your perspective because that's where it's all making sense. That's where it all is working out. And no matter what it is, heartbreak, sadness, you want a husband, you want a wife, whatever it is, come up here, says the Lord. Give it to me and see what I can do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I just begin to thank him. Thank him. Because from his perspective, you don't have a problem. You don't have any problems. From where he sees it, there's no problem. There's no lack. There's no shortfall. There's no disease that can't be healed. There's no need that cannot be met. From his perspective. Now make a decision to stop looking from earth's perspective. You're not meant to be in earth's perspective. Say, Lord, I'm going to see it from yours now. You need a job. You can't find one. He's going to give it to you. Because from his perspective, you already have the job. You already have the finance you need. Your debt is already met. Your needs of healing are already met. In Jesus, they're met. You're longing for a companion for your life. It's met. In Jesus, it's met. Says, will you trust me with your life? Will you trust me? Will you put in your hands the things he asked for tonight? Your holidays, your days off, your rest days, put them all in your hands, your job, along with your needs, and just lift them up to him and say, Lord, here they are. They're yours. That nothing belongs to me. Because I belong to you, I have all things, but I don't own anything. And everything I've been worrying about, I'm going to put it in my hands right now. Take it out of my heart and put it in my hands. Just lift them up to you and say, Lord, here it is. Take this. I'm not carrying this anymore. I'm not worrying about it anymore. Because you said, do not worry. So worrying is going to stop. Thank you, Jesus.
I just sense that there's somebody here who has it's like a hidden, a secret shame in your life. And the Lord is saying, bring it into my light. Just bring it into the light. It's something so dark for you, and you feel like it's between you and the Lord, and you every time you come close to him and when you're in his presence, you just feel this real pain on the inside because you feel like he can never forgive me for that. And Jesus is standing before you right now with his nail-pierced hands held out to you. And he's saying, I did it for you. I paid the price for your sin so that you don't have to. So right now, just bring that thing to him. Ask him to forgive you. There's nothing that's too difficult for him to forgive. Nothing too bad for him to forgive. And as you bring it into the light, he takes it away. He declares over your life, it is finished. He's taken shame. He's taken your pain. It's gone. It's gone. It says, when you confess your sins to me, he wipes them out with the blood of Jesus. And he said earlier that he just wants to wash us. And right now, just allow the blood of Jesus to wash you. Wash your heart. Wash your hands. Wash your mind. He cleanses you and he makes you whole.
This tonight. Nothing is withheld from you. You can have it. Just take it. Take it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Set your people free. Free from shame, free from doubt, free from self-condemnation, from self-pity, from self-criticism, from deep angers, suicidal thoughts. Break them off your people. Come against them in the name of Jesus. Break them off. Set your people free. Set your people free. Set your people free. Break off every lie. Every lie. In Jesus. Hallelujah. If you could find yourself somewhere comfortable, stay where you are. I'm very happy for you to be where you are. Wherever you want to be, it'd be good. Thank you guys. That was wonderful, wonderful time ministry to us. Jesus taught us how to pray, and he said, Father, when we prayed, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there's this wonderful picture that when he died and the veil was cut, torn in two, the curtain, that whatever was in heaven could now be on the earth. Whatever was on the earth could now be touched by heaven. The way was open. And that affects our lives. It affects every part of us. I believe that the time has come on the earth now, and I'm seeing it so much, when the promises of God are coming closer. And Jesus is bringing us to the answer to what he spoke. In John 14, verse 12, he said, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing and greater things than these. because I'm going to the Father. Notice he said anyone. He didn't say the men. He didn't say the old men, the young men, the educated men, the less educated men. He said anyone. Anyone who has faith in me. Anyone who believes me will do the miracles I've been doing because I'm going to the Father. So I'm going to make sure you get the miracles. The Spirit's coming. You know, the message that Jesus gave in Matthew 10:17, his disciples, he said, preach the message, help us come from heaven. I know it says the kingdom of heaven is near. But to the Jewish mindset, that made a lot of sense. But to most Gentiles, it doesn't make any sense. You don't understand what it means. But a better way of understanding it is help from heaven has come. God sent the help. It's come. Help from heaven's here. Preach the good news. Help from heaven's arrived. You can relax. Help from heaven is here. Hallelujah. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you've received. Freely give. Of course, help from heaven's come. You can do that. Anyone who has faith in me will do greater things than I've been doing because I'm going to the Father. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have lepers. Drive out demons. Freely you've received. Freely give. Anyone who has faith in me. There's so many instances. Do you notice, if you listen to what's happening in contemporary Christian music, what's happening now, this is more and more emphasis on the intimacy between God and his people. Jesus wants his church back. He's tired of men, priests running the church and becomes like almost like celebrity culture. He wants his church back. He wants access to every one of his people. He wants every one of his people to be healing the sick, to be raising the dead, to be cleansing the lepers, driving out demons. It's not just for the priesthood. It's for every one of us. And God is desperate to get his church back. And he's pulling us closer to him. And that's what this intimacy is all about, is Jesus pulling his church back to him. Because he wants you and me to function as priests, all of us, priests of the kingdom. I'm going to play you a short video clip. It's just a very small piece. Joe sent it to us last week. And basically what happened, they were having a conference at Bethel. And last Sunday night in the meeting, they were having a fire tunnel towards the end of the meeting when suddenly this gold cloud just shoots up into the air. And gold dust begins to rain on the people. It's no big deal. But what God is increasingly doing is just revealing heaven on earth. Revealing heaven on earth. He's breaking through the paradigms, the norms, and what we think church is, what we think it means to follow Jesus. Because he wants to show us his amazing presence. He wants us to access heaven. Because he said, when you pray, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. We need to see heaven's reality happening on earth. Jesus planned for you, apart from Chris, to walk on water. He planned for you to do it. There's water crying out for you to come and walk on it. Say, when are the people going to start walking on me? Because that's the plan of God. God's plan is for heaven to come to the earth. It never was meant to be different. And now is the time when Jesus is pulling his church back and saying, this is going to become a reality because freely you've received, freely you're going to give. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus says, you will have power when my Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. You can't be the witness of heaven without the power of heaven. You can do a really good PR job. You can do a fantastic PR job. But you'll never make a disciple without the power of heaven. It has to integrate with what we're doing. We have to become those who access heaven to release the power of heaven on the earth so that we could see what Jesus has planned happening. Jesus would not have commanded us to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons if he wasn't going to enable us to do it. Now, from heaven's perspective, there's no problem. The enabling is already in place. From our perspective, like the guys in Capernaum, when Jesus came in, they're saying, oh, isn't this just Joseph's son? And we're saying, oh, isn't this just the Jesus that we worship in the meeting? You know, if we really understood who he was, we'd be levitating during the worship. We seriously wouldn't even be on the ground. We'd be off the ground because the carpet will be off the floor. Because the stones, the flagstones underneath our feet will cry out to Him when He walks in the room. That's who Jesus is. He is glorious in every way. He's not just, oh, that's old Jesus, and I don't really like that song, and yeah, we were here last Friday, and it was boring, and we're boring again, and it will be. And you'll miss the greatest plan that God has for you. Doreen, that you will leap up and start dancing in the air is not impossible. Because He planned that we would do extraordinary things on the earth. Not one of us will be ordinary. You will be the most extraordinary people. Wherever you get in a bus, the bus will be changed because you got in it. People will run off the bus because you were there. Others will run on the bus because you're there. Because they love what you are or they hate what you are. But they can't sit next to you and just be indifferent. When you and I realize who we are. This is not about coming to a meeting. It's about a lifestyle. Living in who Jesus Christ is. It's living in the fullness of who God says He is. The one that I've just described is the one who says, Elaine, you will heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Freely you've received, freely give. For free, you got it from God. The ability to do this. We're going to look at how we can get closer to this tonight and see how God is going to do it. When Jesus was on the earth, we know that He was a man. He had the emotions of a man. He wept. He was angry. He laughed. He ate. He did all the things that men do. And the reason why I've come to understand God allowed that to happen is God wanted us to know that a man did these things. Not that God came down and did them and therefore we will never be able to do them. God wanted us to understand that a man with all the attributes of a man but with the spirit of a living God did these things and then says you're going to do them and you're going to do more than this because I'm going to the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus told us to pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven because on earth Jesus wants heaven to be revealed right now. So interesting. If I were to say to you, Jesus, as a man, could do nothing, would I be telling you the truth? Because He said so. In John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus says, by myself I can do nothing. There isn't anything less than nothing. He said, I can do nothing by myself. In chapter 5, verse 19, He says, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees the Father doing. Jesus said that. He said, I am totally limited in my manhood to only be able to do what my Father does. Whatever my Father shows me, I'll do. And that's why when Jesus walked through the gate beautiful at the temple, that beggar that Peter and John healed, that guy, that cripple, he probably was sitting there because he'd probably been there for years. Jesus didn't heal him because the Father said, you leave that one because I've got a plan. Peter and John are going to do that one later on. That's going to start a revival here. Because Jesus was walking all the time in this obedience to His Father. Sometimes the Father said, okay, Jesus, blind eyes. Spit, make some mud, and put them in his eyes. And Jesus did it. He said, other times, Jesus, tell the guy to just stretch out his hand. I'm going to heal him. Other times, He said, stand in front of the grave, Jesus, and say, Lazarus, come out! And every single time, Jesus did what His Father told Him to do. Jesus did exactly what His Father said. He said, I can do nothing by myself. I can only do what the Father enables me to do. And whatever I see the Father doing, I can do. And so Jesus has this amazing, amazing relationship with His Father. So what happens as a result? Jesus says, just as He had to hear or see the Father and do what the Father is doing, He says in the same way, He will send His Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Now, you can listen to the Spirit and He'll tell you exactly what to do as well. Every one of us can listen to the Spirit and do whatever the Spirit is telling you to do. Ha, ha, ha. How amazing is this? Hearing the Father's voice makes us powerful. People throughout history who've heard the Father's voice were always the most powerful people on the earth. The prophet Samuel, as a young boy, when he lived in the temple under Eli's tutorage, and Eli was the priest at that time, and we know that Samuel was lying sleeping as a little boy. And I don't even know what age. Was he 2 or 3 when his mother took him and gave him to the temple? And he was lying on his mat sleeping when he heard the voice of the Lord. And he thought it was Eli, and he ran to Eli saying, "What is it you want?" And Eli said, "Wasn't me. I didn't call you." He went back to bed, and again God spoke to him. And he went back to, "No, it wasn't me that called you." And eventually Eli said, "That's God speaking to you. Listen to him." And Samuel's life was characterized by his ability to hear God. Listen, when Samuel walked into town, we read that people fled. The very presence of God in Samuel's life was so great. When Samuel came in, everybody knew that the presence of God had walked into town. Samuel was prophet, judge, and priest to Israel, and was the most successful that they probably had. Jesus is showing us the key. The people who hear him, Elijah, sitting camped out on a ravine at the Kereth Ravine, and God says to Elijah, "Go into the town of Zarephath. I've commanded a widow there to feed you." Now, he could have said, "Hang on, there's a drought going on. Zarephath's really badly hit. I won't go to Zarephath. Let me go down to Egypt. There's definitely going to be a better chance of getting a meal there." But he does exactly what God tells him, because he's trained himself to hear God's voice. And he goes into Zarephath. There's the widow, and he gets fed by the widow. She gets a miracle, and her and her son live happily ever after. In the same way, Elijah, God speaks to him and calls him to summon the prophets of Baal to Mount Carmel. And there at that place in the valley, they put a dead bull on top of 2 altars, and the prophets of Baal call all day for their God to send fire and burn up the ox, the altar and the sacrifice. And then by the time the evening sacrifice, Elijah says, "Okay, it's my turn," because he'd heard God's voice. He knew what God was going to do. And so he just says, "Right, pour on a whole lot of water, wet the place, more water, wet the place." And then he calls on God, and God sends fire that not only burns up the sacrifice, burns the stones, licks up the water around the altar. And he heard God's voice. And because he heard God's voice, he was powerful in the land, and he could do mighty deeds. Let's read, go with me please, to 2 Kings chapter 6. We read about another mighty man of God. He was feisty, but he was mighty. We read about Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 6, and let's go and look at verse 17. Okay, and Elisha prayed, Elisha traps the blinded Arameans. I'm going to go to the front, go to verse 8. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded them, "Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord, the king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." Whoa. When you hear the voice of God, you know what other people are saying. You know what God is going to do in every situation. "Ha, ha, ha. Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He's in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." How did he know? How do you think he knew? I guess he must have seen. I guess his ability to see showed this to him. And then as the enemy came down, He was able to hoodwink them and lead them into the very place they didn't want to go. The key to all of this is to understand God wants his people to hear his voice. God wants his people to touch him. Listen, most of you look intensely bored with the whole church scene. Look at your faces. Oh my goodness me. You know, if it's so boring. I want to be bored just looking around. But the point is, it's because we don't expect anything other than having a meeting. We don't expect anything more than this. But God wants you to take hold of what he has promised you. He says, everything is possible now. Your life is down to destined to change the entire world. If you want it. If you want it, you can become the most incredible source of the power of God on the earth. Hallelujah. Because just Jesus listened to and obeyed his Father's voice. So he tells us, he says, listen to the Spirit and obey what he says. In John 16, verse 14, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. Just point at yourself. Say, this is me God's talking about. He says, I want to make it known to you. I want to make known to you every mystery from heaven. I want to make known to you when you see a person in need of healing. I want you to hear my voice saying, go and heal them. I want you to hear my voice with a word of knowledge. When you encounter somebody with a huge problem in their life, God says, I want you to be the one. I want you to have that revelation on the inside that you can do this. You can set them free. I'll never forget, and I've told some of you this story, but years ago I was in Kenya on a mission trip, and we'd left the place where we were going to head for Nakuru. We'd left too late, and we were going to go on to Nairobi beyond that, but we were going to spend the night in Nakuru. And on the way there, our driver was really nervous. And he was a local pastor, and he said, wow, we shouldn't be on the roads after dark because all these bad guys get on the road. They put these planks with nails sticking up of them on the road. And as you go over, you get a flat tire, you got to stop, and then they're going to kill us and take everything we own. So we said, well, we're not expecting that, so let's go on. So we're driving along the road, and we're going down this dip, and there's a little bridge. And as you go poo, over the bridge, psh, the tire goes to the back. Well, the driver's just about taking off. Whoa, those are bandits. We lost a tire. So we pull over the side. There's nobody. I mean, it's like you can't imagine living in England what nowhere is like, where there's not a hut, not a light in miles. And we get out of the car, and I said, well, we better unpack the back of this estate car and get the jack out and get the spare tire out. And as he gets the jack out, he says, oh no, what? We said, what? He says, I brought the wrong jack. It doesn't fit this car. So we put a stone behind the wheels, and Jonathan Croft was with me. So I said, well, Jonathan, God's plan to send help from the sanctuary. I don't know how he's going to do it, but that's God's plan. So we start walking on the road, and we just start saying, thank you, Lord, for sending help from the sanctuary tonight. Thank you, there's help coming our way. I don't know, but you're sending an angel. You're sending somebody, but there's help for us. I mean, there's not a car in sight. There's nothing, just bush on either side. Could be lions there. I don't know. And suddenly, this car starts coming down the road. And our drivers wanted to run into the bush and do a bolt. We said, hang on, let's wait and see who this is. The guy stops behind us. The driver is so frightened. And the guy gets out the car and he says, what's the problem? We said, we've got a flat and our jack doesn't work. He says, I got a jack that'll fit this car. Goes back to his van, comes back with a jack. He says, here we are. The driver's shaking so much he can't get the jack out of his hands. So he says, all right, I'll do it for you. He jacks the car up. He changes the whole tire. We'd stopped to buy some pineapples on the way. So I thought, we've got to give him something. Let's give him some pineapples. So I got the pineapples out. I said, can I give you some pineapples for what you've done? He says, no problem. No, I don't need pineapples. I've got plenty of pineapples where I come from. So I said, man, this is so kind of you. He says, no, it's my job to help people. Now, listen, this isn't London where the AA and the Green Flag and all these other guys are. This is the middle of nowhere. And he says, it's my job to help people. Who the heck's job is it in that part of the world to help people? So eventually we got our car repacked. He helps us pack our car. He says, listen, you drive into Nakuru. I'll drive behind you. I'm going on beyond the Nakuru, but I'll drive behind you and make sure you get safely there because you haven't got a spare wheel now. We're driving in there, and Jonathan keeps looking back, and This guy's behind us, this guy's behind us. And suddenly we get into Nakura, the first street lamp we pass. Jonathan looks back, he says, oh my God. I said, what? He says, the guy's disappeared completely. He wasn't there anymore. You see, God sent help from the sanctuary. God sent an angel with the right jack that fitted that car. Who would change the tire? Who would have help us get into Nakura safely? You see, guys, we're not meant to live without the help of heaven. You're meant to live with the help of heaven all the time. Angels are waiting to be acknowledged, to be told, here I am, Lord, send me, says the angels. They're waiting. They're waiting to do your bidding. They're waiting for you to interact with heaven so they can start releasing what's in heaven in your life. Do you know, Josh and I went to this amazing conference a week ago. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Are you one of his sheep? Well, then what's that mean? You can hear his voice. It's that simple. I'm a sheep. I hear voices. There are Japanese sheep, a Korean sheep, a Taiwanese sheep, and a Scottish sheep, an English sheep. Oh, what are we here? Nigerian English sheep. We got sheep all over the place who can hear the shepherd's voice. That's how we do it. So I want to tell you about this. This is so exciting because it all comes out of a relationship. That's why God is wooing his church back. He's saying, come on, guys, quit the faith dialogue and start relating to me. I am your God. I want you to know me. I want you to know me intimately. I want you to know when I walk in the room. Jesus just walked in the room, guys. I know it. I can smell his presence. Oh, I can feel his presence in this room. That's meant to be us. That's the church of Jesus Christ. It's a bunch of people who know Jesus and therefore are able to do great exploits for God. He's wanting a relationship with his church. He wants to grow our spiritual senses so we can hear him. We can smell. We can taste. We can see. We can feel that God is in the room with us. For too long, we've been doing all the other stuff without knowing what's in our midst. Jesus said, we two or three gathered, there I am in the middle. He's here now. He's in the room with us. You look so excited. He's better fall off your chair. You must be careful. Hold on tight, guys. Do you know, Dot and I went to this amazing conference last week. And there was a guy called Dennis Walker who was speaking. And you might have seen him interviewed by Sid Roth on YouTube, on God Channel. Anyway, Dennis Walker had this amazing revelation from God that God wanted to set him aside to be able to develop his spiritual senses. And so what God showed him, he said, just as you've got five natural senses, you also have five spiritual senses. And you've got to develop your spiritual senses to be able to hear. Because the Bible says their eyes are blind, their ears are dead, their hearts are hardened, therefore they can't know me. So God says, and God said to him, buy a tent and put it up in your living room and sit in that tent every day, and I will begin to speak to you. You see, what he had to do is cut off everything around him. So his wife helped him. He said, if anybody knocks on the door, tell them I've gone to heaven. And he sat in this tent for hour after hour after hour. And he got them ready. And in this tent, he just sat there. And God, after a while, began to speak to him. So we could ask him questions. We said, what did you do in the tent for all that time? He says, well, the way I started, I read Revelation chapter 4. It's a wonderful chapter of images of heaven. There's the sea of glass, the throne from which peals of lightning and thunder come, the Father sitting on the throne, the emerald rainbow around the throne, the 24 elders around the throne. He says, and all I did is I just read it and I went into that vision over and over. I used my imagination. Now listen, if I meet Ruth and I say, hello, my name is Les, your name is? It's good to meet you, Ruth. What have we just done? What have we used to interact? Hearing. Touch, speaking. We've actually used senses to interact with each other. In the same way, you use senses to interact with God. That's what he discovered. So you use your imagination. You say, God, take over my imagination and let me see heaven. And what began to happen, he began to move into heavenly places. He began to enter the visions, and there God began to do miracles through the sky. Just before he came, he'd just done a conference in Peru. He's lived in Peru for most of his life with his wife as a missionary. And they lived in Peru without American support, so they lived as the locals in a village lived in a hut. Had their children there, educated their children, and that's where they ministered to the Lord. And the amazing thing is, he's just been down to Peru, and he stood up in one conference, and he sang. And as he sang, hundreds of people came running up and gave their lives to Jesus. Just by this man singing. Didn't do the altar call, didn't persuade them, didn't dangle them over the fire. He just sang. Why? Because the Holy Ghost wants to do it. He wants to do what we can't do. For too long, we've used our skill, our human persuasion, to convince somebody they needed Jesus. But I'm telling you something, these guys are sitting here thinking, well, it's Friday night, and I've got to be here. But guys, when the fire of God is amongst us, the people will not be able to stay away. And we have to enter the fire realm. We can't do meetings. We've got to do encounters with God. We've got to lay hold of what heaven's doing and be able to do that on the earth. It's time for the sick to be brought in here. It's time for the lame to be brought in. It's time for them to bring the dead people in here and raise them up and send them whole out of the building again. This is what the church is meant to do. The church is not meant to have a boring meeting with a lot of people looking at me speaking and thinking, well, that's cool, but I don't actually think it's true. Because if I did, I'd be standing on the top of my chair right now. There you go. Oh! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Do you know, I was in a meeting once in South Africa, and I was sitting next to the guy who was the leader, and then there was a couple other people, and I was sitting there, and we were worshiping the Lord, and we'd sat down. There was somebody who was playing something, and I smelled this incredible perfume. And I looked and I thought, has he just sprayed something on himself? That's amazing. It's absolutely, it was intoxicatingly beautiful. And I sat there, and then eventually he looked at me and he said, the Lord's in the room. Can you smell him? And it is possible to smell the presence of Jesus. About 3 years ago, I was asleep in my bed in London, and I heard a voice. And the voice was a man's voice in my bedroom. It's the only time I've heard the audible voice of heaven. And the voice spoke loudly in my room, and he said, you will see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And I shut up in the bed. I looked at Dot. She was fast asleep, and she was a lady. I thought, oh my God, you've just spoken to me. That's John chapter 1, verse 51. Thank God, that is amazing. You see, our ears can open and we can hear because he opens our ears so we can hear the voice of God. The problem is that we have so lost the spiritual perception. I will guarantee you that when you first got saved, you probably heard God. You probably encountered God in some of your senses. But then you joined the church and you learned how not to do it. And you learned how to do the church thing instead. And you lost what God was wanting to develop in you. Do you know, if somebody is born again 5 minutes ago, they're filled with the Spirit, they're as powerful as you are. No less. Probably more powerful because they haven't had all the church time to teach them not to believe. Jesus has a plan for each one of your lives. It is the most awesome plan. He plans that you would be the most dangerous people in this city. That you'd be turning the city upside down with your teaching. You'd be turning people's lives around. You'd be setting people free. You'd have words of knowledge over situations. You'd see somebody in a bus and you'd say, excuse me, does this name mean anything to you? And you'd have an entrance in there. You see, the reason why they don't believe is they want to see the power of God. They want to see the power of heaven. They don't want to hear of what happened in the book of Acts 2,000 years ago. They don't want to hear what happened in Africa. They want to see it here. They want to know it now. They want to see it. Young people are frustrated because they don't encounter the presence of God. They don't encounter the power of God. All they encounter is church meetings. And God says, enough. I want my church back. I want my people back. I want Jason to be a flame of the fire of God. When Jason rises up and dances, people get saved, people get delivered, just because Jason dances. Because Lyncia dances. God has planned something so different for us, guys. We can't stay here anymore. We can't live here anymore. We've got to turn this around. We've got to get to the place where we get our focus on God. God wants to speak to your dreams. He wants to speak to you at night. He wants to say, reveal things to you. You know, in this meeting with Dennis, one woman put her hand up. She said, can I ask you something? She said, I have a busy job and I have a family at home. So when I get home, I haven't got time to do that. When do I do this? He says, my best socks are in the shower in the morning. I just go in there and I go quiet. Do you know, guys, most of us think that we'll be heard for our many words. So we shunned out of our send out of our car, believing something will happen. When we're shouting at the devil in tongues, he can't understand us anyway, according to God's word. But God wants you to go quiet and learn to listen to him. When you receive the initiative of heaven, you do just what that told you. You know, one of the things that he said when he was a Pentecostal pastor, he said, what we used to do is to get the guys up there. We used to shut them out, cast out every demon we've ever heard of out of their life, spit all over them, and say, praise God, you're healed now. And then they walked down. He said, were they healed? They said, mainly not, but they're just a lot wetter than when they came. And then he says, now I hear what Jesus says. And Jesus didn't say, pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. See, don't pray for sick people, you heal them. You just touch them and you say, the Lord Jesus heals you. He sets you free. The other night I had the most wonderful dream. I was in this sitting like here, and there was a guy sitting near the back there, and he had a leg missing from below his knee. And the Lord said to me, go and heal him. And there's this moment of angst, this terror grip. Ha! And I went over and I put my hand on his stump. And I said to him, the Lord Jesus heals you. And as I pulled my hand out, his leg grew out. And then last thing was just this foot just flipped out from underneath it. And he got up and he said, I got two, like a walk. And there was a guy standing over there. And he had one eye that had nothing in it, just blank. And I just reached my hand. I said, the Lord heals you now. And I saw the color come back in his eye. And he started to shout, I can see, I can see. And there was a little girl. She was about 3 or 4 years old. And she had two stumps. And I went up to her. She was sitting in a wheelchair. And I put my hands on her stumps. And as I pulled them out, her feet came out. Her legs came out. And she got up and she started to dance. Guys, this is the kingdom of God. This is where we're meant to live. We're not meant to live in meetings. We're meant to live in the truth of Jesus. I'll tell you one last thing. Turn with me, please, will you? To Ephesians chapter 26. Sorry, forgive me. Who knows that can't be true? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. That's different. Just want to tell you something. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. What's that mean? Who knows where the heavenly realms are? The three. First one, according to Hebrew doctrine, is between the clouds and the earth. Excuse me. Thank you. I receive blessings. They're so good. The second one is between the clouds and space. We're told that's where the enemy hangs out. The third one is where God lives. You are in Christ, seated in the heavenly place. The Bible refers to it as the heavenly place, where God is right now. He has positioned you there. You're not some lady sitting here in this room wondering what the heck you're going to cook for supper. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ. You are one awesome person. Last thing, go with me, please, to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. This is the key. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your what? Your mind or your heart? Where Christ is seated with Christ. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. The key is just to get your mind out of the earth realm into the heaven realm. Out of this place into the heavenlies. And begin to live and function as a heavenly woman and man. Because that's what you were called to. How many people believe me in this room? That's great. I'm encouraged. That's wonderful. Your faces totally belie what you feel in your hearts. But that doesn't matter. We're going to keep chipping away and chipping away until we're all going to believe this one day. Let's praise God for what he's done. Come on, you guys got to. Let's exalt King Jesus for where he's positioned you. And then we're going to finish. Let's stand together and just stand before him right now while they're getting themselves sorted. Just stand before him. Just say to him, Jesus, thank you. Thank you that your plan for me is so amazing. Thank you that you didn't plan for me to just bump along the earth, struggling and battling. But your perspective, Jesus, is so amazing. And I praise you. I praise you for that tonight. I exalt you, Jesus. And Lord, I determine tonight that we're not staying here. We're not going to stay in this place. We're moving on. We're moving into heavenly places. We will work and push and push and push until we enter into our predestined zone, where we will live and do the works of God on the earth for the glory of Jesus. Can you thank him for what he's done for you? Commit our hearts. We say, Jesus, we won't stay until every single thing you have said about us is true in our lives. We won't give up. We won't live with less, Lord. Forgive us that we were prepared for so long to live with less. Forgive us that we didn't know the way into your presence. We ask you to begin to develop our senses, that we will know you and see you and smell you and hear you and reveal heaven on the earth just as you said. We commit ourselves to you, Jesus. We commit ourselves to your plan. We give up the old plan. We say it didn't work anyway. We take all of your plan. We want heaven's initiative, not earth's. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you take your seats briefly? Can I just tell you, remember Judith Butler came a few years back at St. Marriott Hill on Saturday morning. And she said, remember she said, when the planes are coming in at Heathrow Airport, there are all these radio signals going out, telling the planes what they've got to do. All these radio signals going out. And you've got to be tuned to the right frequency to hear what they're saying to you so you get on the right path to land the plane. And she said, the Lord said to her in the same way, out of heaven, right now, there are millions of initiatives streaming out right now all over the world, initiatives from heaven, and the Lord's sending you things, and the Lord's saying, just tune yourself to my frequency and hear what I'm saying to you, because your life will be very different. We can explore hearing God like never before until we are hearing God, every one of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God.